Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com up at 1265. Ryan, we're going to hear from Matt LaFleur in a few minutes from right now, but your first takeaways after he gets to maybe push his chest out a little bit as a winner in his first game as an NFL head coach.
Yeah, he's been very... incremental, I guess is the word. Like there hasn't been a lot of celebrating.
I like that word, incremental.
I like that one too.
Because that incremental, that's like the perfect word ever.
Dropping the Webster on everyone here. No,
it's drop the Webster, cause
it's been all kind of full steam ahead to Minnesota, and understandably so, because they can't exhale. I mean, this Vikings team just throttled a pretty talented Falcons team, so. There hasn't been a lot of, I guess, sticking the chest out. It hasn't been like that this week. And it's maybe not surprising, but it is worth taking note just because everything that this head coach does is new. He's never done it before. So how do you respond to a really good win in the opener? Well, this is how it's been. It's been pretty businesslike.
No, not only that. I think if now we're trying to look forward to the Minnesota Vikings, now I feel like the Chicago Bears game is behind us. But you know what I like about this week is that they got extra days because they played on that Thursday to prepare for Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, they got an entire bonus practice on Monday that they ordinarily wouldn't get at all. So that certainly helps. They were also obviously able to see them first on film, see how they were as a team, what are the Packers about against a quality opponent in Chicago from a strengths and weaknesses standpoint, and then watch the Minnesota game after breaking down their own film, watch the Minnesota game against Atlanta, which has probably been beneficial as well. And the third part of that is they're pretty healthy right now. I mean, there's only three guys that are even all that significantly limited in practice. One of them, Oren Burks, the others, Kadar Holman and Darius Shepard. I mean, of the three, Oren Burks would play the most snaps, but even he's not the top of his position. I mean, this is a really healthy team that should be very well rested going into its home opener.
Ryan, when you look at that home opener against the Vikings and what Dalvin Cook was able to do last week, do you expect the Packers to go in with more of a emphasis on that base look, that they'll go into 3-4 with multiple linebackers now that B.J. Goodson, you'd expect to be a little bit more ready to go?
Yeah, you know, Matt LaFleur wasn't very coy when he was asked this today. He said that he anticipates B.J. Goodson being out there quite a bit, and he should be, because B.J. Goodson was literally acquired for a week like this against a team that just ran it 38 times, against a running back who just ran it 21 times, Dalvin Cook, who Matt LaFleur called an elite runner. He had the second most carries in week one, and this team had the second most carries in week one. They brought in B.J. Goodson to be an early down run defending linebacker. You're not going to throw him in coverage on third down, but first and second down against the run, you're going to want someone that's a little beefier than Raven Green. Raven Green, the hybrid safety, he does well in coverage. It gives him more athleticism there, kind of protects Blake Martinez in coverage a bit, but you want someone who's got more stout to him, and that's B.J. Goodson. So, yeah, I think you're going to see him quite a bit. This is an opponent and a matchup where you want a guy like that on the field.
You know, also, when you're looking at this Vikings team, but they can't win. They can't win games like they won against Atlanta with Kirk Cousins only throwing the number of passes that he threw. I mean, I think they're going to have to rely on him to do a little bit more than that, wouldn't you think?
I don't think they can do that against this Packers defense with this Packers defensive front. From Kenny Clark to Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, there's some some real run defenders on this Packers defensive front. So I think it would be difficult to run it 38 times. And the reality is this Vikings team, a season ago in Kirk Cousins' first year, they never got even close to a 38-10 run-pass split that they had against the Falcons. They weren't even close to that. So, no, I think that this is going to, you know, when you look at the Vikings offense as a whole, they're tough. They're a whole lot tougher than Chicago because, one, they've got a better quarterback, but they're a lot more balanced in their playmakers. I mean, they're really good on the perimeter with Diggs and Thielen. Mm-hmm. And then you got Cook that really brings it all together.
Right.
It's almost a pick-your-poison type situation for any defense against that Vikings offense. So much of it depends on, obviously, how the quarterback plays. Kirk Cousins can look really good sometimes, and he can kind of have some clunkers out there. But when he's really good, he's got plenty of weapons around him. I think the key probably is that whether that offensive line obviously can hold up against a pass rush, but there's plenty of weapons, a lot more weapons than Chicago, so it's going to be interesting to see how the Packers prioritize that. Do they? I mean, they're going to want to make them one-dimensional, but does that mean taking away Diggs and Thielen, make them beat you with Cook, or the inverse of that? Does that mean that you let Cook get his, but you cannot give up the explosive plays with Diggs and Thielen? That'll be interesting to see.
Talking with Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Been on the beat since 14 up there in Green Bay. Ryan, if you try to quantify how these players, with the unfamiliarity and the unscouted looks that we talked about last week, and really up until last week's game against Chicago, being an advantage for the Packers, this defense, and Mike Zimmer in particular calling the shots up in Minnesota, they've had so many looks at Aaron Rodgers. They know that guy inside and out, and I was making the joke to Gary a little earlier that 22 Harrison Smith has nightmares and dreams about Aaron Rodgers and plays that he could make against him. Do you expect any new wrinkles that we maybe didn't see in Chicago to be more of a focus in the offensive game plan?
I think before they get to the new wrinkles part, they're just going to want to iron out the things that were sloppy in the opener. And that's probably the emphasis this week, especially pre-snap and all those things, is being less sloppy than they were week one. As far as new wrinkles, yeah, I mean, the first 4 weeks of any season, you're able to throw a lot of unscouted looks at teams, and that's not just the Packers. That's across the league. So I think there's going to be a lot of, a fair amount of unscouted looks. But the priority's not necessarily that. It's just that they've got to play crisper and cleaner than they did in their operation in Chicago. And obviously, it should help that this game is at Lambeau Field and not at Soldier Field at night. I mean, there's a reason why it was sloppy at times. One, the offense had never done it before. But two, that is a hostile environment that they were in last week, and it won't be the same this week.
Anything new sticking out at you this week for the Packers?
You know, it's tough because it was such a feeling. Let's put it this way. Week one game, as you saw it, mm-hmm. not a lot happened. I mean, it was a defensive slugfest, and I think that there's still a lot of unknown about this offense in general. We didn't see a whole lot. And that's a lot because the Bears kind of they did what the Packers defense did, the Bears offense. They throttled this Packers offense. There's a whole lot that I think we're still waiting to see. So you throw that on top of the extended weekend, the fact that it's been – tomorrow's a week since they played. This is really Saturday on that seven-day schedule, and they still have a few days. It's a longer period of wait, and it's time to get to another game. So anything new? Not necessarily. I think that there's still a lot of unknown, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Correct.
Ryan, this week as the Packers take on the Minnesota Vikings, and your colleague Pete Doherty over at PackersNews.com had an article about it earlier today of the results and the conclusions that you can take away from the results of week one. And he pointed out the Texans started 0-3 last year. The Patriots have started 1-2. I want to say each of the last 2 years, and we know where they ended up. Do you feel the same about this Packers team right now, that maybe the conclusions we're taking from the first week or the next couple of weeks are rather inconclusive?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to take any conclusions from week one just because it's such a small sample size, and that sample size, as small as it is heavily skewed by two factors, which is the Bears' defense might be the best in the NFL.
Correct.
And Mitch Trubisky might not be any good at football. So, you know, the combination there leaves a lot in terms of making any real conclusions. I think that as that sample size grows, we'll get a lot closer. And this will be an interesting test this week because the offense is a lot better. So how good is the Packers' defense? Well, if they go out and they throttle the Vikings' offense, that'd be pretty impressive, even at home. To string two games together like that would be pretty impressive. But vice versa, this is, again, deep and really well covered. I mean, there's playmakers on all levels of this Vikings defense. So is there improvement for the Packers offense? I mean, that's what you'd want to see, but that's a big unknown. We don't know if there will be. So playing at home against a really talented defense, does this Packers offense take steps in the right direction? That's something we'll be looking at.
Ryan, you've been in locker rooms now two times when there's been a catastrophic injury to a former MVP in Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay. The Brewers lose Christian Yelich, the reigning MVP, last night. In your experiences, what does that locker room need to be in the next stretch of games to be able to continue on, and where have you seen it go the other direction and just completely sideways?
Yeah, they always say next man up, right? But there is no next man up with an Aaron Rodgers. Or, you know, the one that I'll never forget wasn't even Aaron Rodgers. It was the locker room immediately after Jordy Nelson tore his ACL in Pittsburgh in the preseason back in 15. I mean, you talk about a vacuum just sucking all the wind out of a room. That's what it felt like. Jordy Nelson come off of the All-Pro season. Was maybe the best deep threat in football that year, and all of a sudden he's gone for the year, and just the shock. I mean, it's kind of like taking a really hard punch, and you're going to be staggered back, but it's how quickly you can recover from that and take steps forward again that really dictate your success in the bottom line, winning and losing. So, you know, there's for Christian Yelich, there's no next man up. Oh, this guy's going to do what Christian Yelich does. It's a collective. Everyone's got to do more. And you've seen that not necessarily happen in Green Bay. When Aaron Rodgers has gone down, Brett Hundley struggled. Mm-hmm. When Jordy Nelson went down, the offense as a whole really struggled in that 2015 season. For as much as you try to pull on cliches to generate belief like next man up, There's no replacing superstars, so that's the tough reality of it.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. Friday we'll talk and we'll get predictions for Packers and Vikings home opener this weekend, Lambeau.
All right, take care.
Thanks, right, man. Woody. That's Ryan Wood. By Ryan Wood on Twitter. You can follow him there. Also read his stuff and subscribe at the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Ryan joins us, as all our guests do, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.